The free Vision app is where you'll find a growing range of on-demand audio and video to help you look to God daily. Search Vision Christian Media in your app store.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
When you talk to a lot of Christians, you'll discover a sentiment that somehow or other our Christianity may be waning and the forces of atheism or secularism may be on the rise. I wonder if you've ever thought that if you had the shoe on the other foot, that the atheists might think that Christianity's on the rise and there's a need to attack Christianity. Well, we're going to be talking about C.S. Lewis again today after a wonderful conversation yesterday. But not only C.S. Lewis, but another author, Dorothy Sayers. Bill Muhlenberg has been reflecting on these two very significant authors and recognizing that they came from an era where there were challenges that were coming against Christianity. Bill Muhlenberg, welcome back to 2020.
Great to be back with you, Neil.
Well, Bill, two very well-known authors, C.S. Lewis, Dorothy Sayers. Give us a little in a nutshell about the two so listeners can be up to date with where we're going with this conversation.
Yes, well, hopefully most of your listeners do know Lewis, at least, the great Christian apologist from Oxford and Cambridge of last century. And as you say, great program yesterday with looking more at his life and his influence. In my books, you can never have enough of C.S. Lewis. So 2 days in a row, hey, that's fine by me. The other one, maybe not quite as well known by evangelicals, although she should be. Dorothy Sayers, also a famous writer, apologist, Oxford alumnus like Lewis, lived at the same period. She is perhaps better known, by many non-Christians, probably more non-Christians know her, because she wrote around 9 or 10 very popular and well-done works of detection fiction, you know, in the league of Agatha Christie. And many have said that her novels with Lord Peter Wimsey as the main character were actually even better than those of Agatha Christie. But she was an Anglican lay person as well, often wrote pieces on Christian apologetics, the importance of Christian doctrine, wrote a number of Christian plays that she was commissioned to do in England by the BBC during wartime, just as Lewis was commissioned by BBC during the war to give radio talks on Christianity. So two very important Christian thinkers and writers who happened to be very good friends. And a new book on their friendship is what inspired me to pen my latest piece.
So you have these two, and they are authors, and they are friends, and they are Christian apologists. Now, what you're touching on in one of your latest articles is the fact that they needed to be apologists because they were answering the critics of Christianity in their day. How does all that work?
Yeah, well, one of the things that really jumped out at me by this book called Dorothy and Jack, which came out last year by Gina D'Alfonso, was something right in the middle of the book. It mentioned the year 1953. I know a bit about that. Well, I've been told, at least. I was born in 1953, but during that year, an angry atheist in England wrote an entire book to attack C.S. Lewis, Dorothy Sayers, other Christians of influence like T.S. Eliot, Graham Greene, the novelist, this gal, Kathleen Knott, this atheist, was really concerned that, oh, terrible, these Christians are having such an impact on culture here in England and around the Western world. We got to do something to stop this. This is a terrible trend. So Gina D'Alfonso in her book mentions this book that the atheist had written. But what's interesting, she says, contrary to the atheist, Sayers and Lewis felt that they were actually not in the ascendancy. They actually felt that Christianity, certainly as an intellectual force, but in other ways as well, was really in the decline in the UK and the West. It really was, heading down the tubes fast. So interesting, different perspectives, these heavy-duty Christian thinkers feeling the faith was really coming under threat, whereas the atheists of the day thought that, we have to watch out for these Christians. They're having a real impact. And I, for one, at least, that whole bit just jumped out at me because, of course, I and I guess Vision and so many others, we're defending the faith today. We're doing our bit. It looks to us that culture is getting so dark, so anti-Christian, so hostile to the faith that we have to stand and defend Christianity. But I said in my piece, if you're like me, you sometimes wonder, am I doing any good? Am I making an impact? And so I started to reflect. I wonder if Sayers and Lewis probably had the same kinds of questions, the same kind of doubts.
I wonder whether, and in Australia we love the terminology when we are talking underdogs. We love it on the sporting field, to be the underdog and to rise up and win the match. There's a certain sense here in which I get the impression that having an underdog mentality may actually be an advantage, and to think that maybe there's big threats coming against Christianity that might inspire me on to do better. To think that the other side thinks that they're the underdog, that's another thing I've not really thought through too much.
Yeah, it's interesting. Each side has their own spin on things, their own perspective. When the one is rising, the other feels like they're declining and in reverse. There's good and bad here. In one sense, we could say 1953, England, America, Australia, the West were basically Christian cultures. In a sense, that's a good thing. It's something good to celebrate. But of course, people like Lewis and Sayers could see, it's in steep decline. We're losing out fast, certainly in the universities, in culture. So for them, it may have been the case that we were Christian culture, but it was slipping away fast. And of course, in a sense, this idea of an underdog, Scripture uses a different phrase. It talks about being a remnant. God always seems to delight in using a remnant, right? It's not the masses. It's not the great groups. It's the handful. It's the individual, whether it's Gideon taking on the enemy, David, the little David against the big Goliath. It's always the small remnant. So in that sense, even though we are seeing a real decline of the faith in the West, there's always going to be a remnant. So just as Lewis and Sayers did their bit to defend the faith, to stand strong, to take on the critics, to show the reasonableness of Christianity, we have to do the same today. And even if we are discouraged, even if we do think we're kind of almost on the losing side at least at the moment in the West, again, we look back. This gal, Kathleen Knott, who wrote the book attacking Lewis, guess what? Nobody, as far as I know, knows anything about her. She's long gone, long forgotten. Yet everybody, anybody who's a Christian who is a little bit literate knows about C.S. Lewis. Even non-Christians know about Lewis and Dorothy Sayers. So their impact has lasted the distance. What they did, even if they may have had their own self-doubts, am I really doing much for Christ and the kingdom? We're still reading their books. They're still being sold in the millions today, whereas this atheist, has come and gone, and nobody knows about her anymore. So, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and other atheists today may have their field day, may think they're making an impact. I wonder if another 75 years' time, who's going to still stand? Who will be remembered? So again, influence we can have. We may question whether we're having it, but if we're faithful to Christ, faithful to his calling, hopefully, even the church history and secular history books a century from now might look back and, you know, write reports, stories about, well, Vision Radio, you and I, that we made a difference. We were faithful, we hung in there, and we made an impact on the surrounding culture.
As you say, Bill, C.S. Lewis and Dorothy Sayers, they were like professors at Oxford University. And I note that one of the critics there, not the atheist and her allies, were thinking that Christianity was resurgent among the intellectual classes because of the presence of the people like Lewis and Sayers. I wonder whether your thoughts on whether we've got people in the intellectual classes now who are doing an appropriate job in defending Christian faith.
Yeah, well, that's always the need of the hour. This is going back to one of my loves, apologetics, defending the faith. We need smart, articulate, well-read Christians in each generation to defend the faith. We had Lewis. We had Sayers last century doing this superbly. And yeah, there's people we can think of today. In fact, we can even go back to Oxford. We looked at Sayers, Lewis from Oxford. Well, two more come to mind straight away. John Lennox, Christian mathematician at Oxford. You know, he's debated Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens. He's written a slew of books defending the faith. Another one, Alistair McGraw. He's a theologian and apologist and scientist. He started as a Marxist, as an atheist. He was converted, actually, as a student at Oxford, kind of like Lewis was an atheist at first. It was articulate, thinking Christians, students that helped Alistair McGraw to leave his atheism and Marxism, and today he's a leading Christian theologian, apologist. So he's there doing the same kind of thing Lewis and Sayers were doing, and again, in our much smaller ways, Neil Johnson, Vision Radio, defending the faith in Brisbane and Australia. You know, me in my own small little culture watch, nowhere near in the league of a Lewis or a Lennox. But, you know, we're all doing our little bit to stand strong, to defend the faith. Each new generation has to do this. It might be the same old challenges, right? The same objections, the same criticisms, but they all always come in new forms. There'll be new individuals. Last century, Kathleen Knott. This century, you know, other new rugged atheists will come along, but we still have to keep defending the faith, keep answering questions, giving honest answers to honest questions. So the impact of a Lewis, well, hopefully we can have that kind of impact as well. So we have to keep at it.
Well, Bill, you and I, we can serve in our own small way by drawing attention to some of these huge issues, and we might draw attention to and create opportunity for some of those intellectual Christians who are able to defend faith in a wonderful way. And great to reflect on C.S. Lewis and Dorothy Sayers today. Let me point listeners to the article we're talking about. It's called Making a Difference When It Really Matters. And things might seem tough now. Perhaps God is ready to raise up a new batch of wonderful defenders of faith, and they might be listening to our conversation right now. You can find Bill's latest articles at billmuhlenberg.com, or you can simply Google Culture Watch, one word. Bill, thanks so much for the update today on 2020.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.